You are watching and listening to Unlapped, and because we are nearing 2 o'clock a.m. local time, Unlapped is also unhinged. I'm Gary Streisky, Nicole Briscoe, Spencer Hall, Dallin Cuff, Nate Saunders. But we're happy, we're in good spirits, much like Max Verstappen winning his record, his own record, 18th race of the season out of 22. Briscoe's already singing. Want to get your initial thoughts.
Too early.
Starting with Nate, Red Bull finishing 1-2.
1-3.
Nearly 1-2, yeah, you're right.
And Checo 1-2 with Max and him in the driver standings.
Yeah, this was the big result they wanted for a long time. You know, Perez has been under all this pressure, and they kept saying, you got to get second in the championship. And I don't know. Like, I don't know whether this was a prerequisite for him staying next year, but a lot of people assumed, like, if he doesn't get second, he's not staying. So for him, that was pretty good. It was weird with Perez because he kind of lucked into that position a little bit, but, you know, third in the race is pretty good. And yeah, Max is just a beast, isn't he? I mean, the guy's just unbelievable. Good fight with Charles. Some good overtaking. I think at the beginning that was old Max when he pushed Charles wide.
Uh-huh.
So we got the old, the new, and he then sung Viva Las Vegas. So he's been taking a big dump on this place all week, and then he turned out he really liked it. So,
turns out in the Vegas Elvis suit.
It must have been the Elvis outfit. Yeah. He must have seen it and
And Briscoe, turns out, you know, once he accepted the win, of course, right in front of the Bellagio fountains, the thing that everybody was listening to, minus the cart rolling
minus
bias
this
right
guy.
Now,
exactly.
Minus
guy,
the
yeah.
cart rolling bias. Listen, they're breaking down. They're on to Abu Dhabi. It's
they
the season
go.
Finale.
That's the loudest cart ever.
But the biggest nugget that maybe everybody was sort of waiting for Max to say was,
I
had fun,
place.
And I'll see you next year, which was music to Las Vegas' ears.
Yeah, like he's been absolutely just drilling this place. He was like, it's all show, it's no substance, I don't like driving on the track. What else did he say? He compared it to like Monaco to the Champions League. He said this was like the National League. Like he just absolutely just crushed Vegas the whole weekend. And he said he was doing it out of his honesty. So which one's the real Max? Which one's the honest Max? Is it the one that wins? Or the one that's just unhappy because he has to do other things?
Well, I think so. I've been warming to Max all year. You know, I think the Max we're seeing increasingly is a very, very honest guy.
Yeah.
And I think what I liked about this weekend was he did at points, I looked back at some of the things he'd said. He had said, I don't mind Vegas, and sure. I think this circuit's okay. He was just quite upset about the showy stuff around it, you know, and everything, you know, the lack of substance that he felt there was in it. So what I like about him right now is that he basically, F1 are not going to do anything about him saying all those things. They're not going to say, you're a three-time world champion, you've got 54 wins, we're going to have a word with you. He can do what he wants.
He's like, what are you going to do about it?
So I think we're actually seeing the most honest version of Max, Nicole, that we have seen ever, and I quite like that. I think he's a guy that he's always worn his emotions on his sleeve, and I think from talking to people at Red Bull, apparently he's actually really enjoyed being able to have that platform this week. I heard that he's, you know, sometimes he comes out of media sessions and you think, is this guy actually having fun doing this? And I don't think he always is. I think this week he has, because so much of what he said has been met with a ripple of laughter and has been picked up everywhere, and I think he quite enjoys that. So he's dominated all the headlines, and then he's dominated the headlines today, because we're talking about great race, great quotes, great everything. There's nothing Max Verstappen can't do, basically.
But Max Verstappen is going to start a podcast
in a car this time. Yeah. So, yeah.
The headline, though, was the spectacle off the track was meant by what took place on the track.
Sure.
Like, that was an outstanding race, one of the best, if not the best, race of the season. From the very first turn and Max going in and getting a 5-second penalty, him getting a collision later, like all that, and he still won. But the grid was all messed up before we took him started. There was, at one point, Lance Stroll was leading a race. Like, there were things that we hadn't seen throughout the course of the year very rarely. It was an entertaining race, and from, like, American sports perspective, like, it delivered on what we wanted it to be. The question is, you know,
it's a shame.
The question is who's able to
so
see it.
Late
exactly.
Or early.
But
yeah.
Whoever saw it in our country may become a fan, because that was even better than I thought you could have hoped in terms of the expectations and hype.
Might be overthinking the Verstappen thing, by the way, because you say, well, yeah, he was so happy after the race. He got to run someone off the road.
Yeah.
To me, that's what Max Verstappen lives for, twice.
Yes. While dressed as Elvis Presley, kind of.
While dressed as Elvis, and he won. Yeah. So all of the things that Max loves all happened tonight. He should be happy.
Yeah, he should. And, I mean, the thing is, right now, I think Max is happier than he's ever been. He's as confident as he's ever been. The one good thing that his rivals have is that he's only got one more race left this year. Then he's got 2 months where maybe some of that happiness, that charisma, that confidence drains away maybe. But I think he's just going to be rolling into next year like this. So it's scary if you're not Max Verstappen, but I think this is why he's doing so well. The car's great, and he's just in such a great place. So
if I'm one of his competitors, I don't want this weekend from him.
Yeah.
Because like I don't want him to be turning into the absolute complete package and having everything going my way, including having the platform with the media, because that's just one more thing. Like, no, we just if I'm a competitor, just bring it to an end.
And just as a quick one, the message I loved in the race was when he got that 5 second penalty, mm-hmm. and he said to his race engineer, he said, "Send them my regards to the stewards." Like, even in the race, he was just being chaotic. And I think a few years ago, you would have heard him get very angry, very emotional about that. And even that stuff now really isn't bothering him. So it does speak to that.
You take a look at the bookends of this race. Max Verstappen finishing first. It's another win. Lando Norris was the first to not be able to finish. Actually took a pretty wicked head-on collision there into the barriers. But basically 2 through 19 effectively through the duration of this race. And there were a couple of DNFs towards the end of this race. So effectively 2 through 16. I mean, it was moving pieces. Every time we looked up at one point, Lance Stroll is leading the race. Esteban Ocon is there. Alex Albon is making. I mean, Lance Stroll going from 19 and cracking a top five. That's unbelievable. You can't really ask for Briscoe. Much more movement middle of the pack than what we saw this evening in Vegas.
I think like the end of the race in Singapore, where you had the front four going into the final turn all together, the ending of that race was obviously tremendous. The thing that I loved about Las Vegas is that it was not just the first couple of cars that were fighting for position. Yeah. Technical difficulties because it's 2 o'clock in the morning.
It's not a drain cover though.
It's not a drain cover. Exactly.
Even the equipment is tight. Sorry.
And our producer Dave with the save. He just picked up the light. Give it up for Dave. Dave with the save.
He's holding on to it tightly.
Don't drop the mic, don't break it.
Because Nicole was on a roll there as well. So
I just love the fact that there was reason to watch every car on the track today. Yep. There were moves made by every single driver out there, whether it's someone that we always watch or it's someone that like needed our attention. I mean, Logan Sargeant started in the top 10. Both Williams cars were in Q3 and there were some struggles along the way, but like I felt like it was an opportunity to pay attention to every driver. We don't get that.
Yeah, there was a complete level of unpredictability. Like usually, there's so many things are predictable that Max is going to win, and these couple teams will fight for it.
That was still the case.
But it still was the case. But in it, there was the question of: is he actually going to come back from this? Is he going to win? Like even asking that question at lap 16 or lap 35, like that's something that we don't do very much. And I think to your point, all up and down the grid, there were things to look at, and up and down the race, there were things to look at to be like, how's this going to turn out?
But I also think it was really entertaining. Like, he went back, he sent his regards to the stewards, he went back, and he fought his way through. And I think if you don't enjoy watching Max Verstappen win every single race, there was an entertainment quality to the way he performed today and fought his way through the field. The passes he was making, sort of like taking it back to a couple of years when he was like the young, sort of super aggressive Max. Like, that's fun to watch. Whether you like the outcome or not.
Yeah, 100%. And sometimes when drivers win, it was the same when Lewis was winning and when Vettel was winning. Sometimes it's nice to have a reminder that they do know how to race wheel to wheel because they can be out front so much, you kind of forget it. But what you were saying about the race was totally true as well, Nicole, because I think one of the biggest compliments about this race was it was hard to keep up with where everyone was. At one point, I was like, how have the Williams guys dropped so far? I was like, are they out of sync on the pits? You were right. Stroll
especially when
was
you have a bet
there.
On Albon, you're like, why the hell did that happen?
Yeah. Gasly spent a lot of time out
Stroll was up there, so there was so much going on. It was hard to pick through the thread of the race as it was happening, and that hasn't actually been the case this year. It's been very easy this season because once the stuff out front's done, you're like, okay, I know what's going on there. 4th, 5th, 6th, okay, this will make sense. You kind of have a feel for the race. There were points in that race, I've got to be honest, where I was kind of like looking around the media center being like, I hope I'm not the only one who doesn't understand how 8th position is currently looking the way it is.
You definitely weren't.
And hopefully we get more races like that next year.
Passion, drive, and patience. What brings home the winning trophy is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. From superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has got you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to turn your car into the MVP and bring home that win. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Do we anticipate the track being such a variable that it was early goings? Everybody was talking about the lack of grip, and we saw so many spinouts, and we saw so many cars going 180. I mean, everybody was racing against 19 drivers, and it seems like they were up against the X factor that was the track, but that was to be expected.
That's the weird thing about this track, because not only is it a new surface, they literally repaved within the last couple of months. So they repaved the surface, so you've got that. There's no rubber down. But the weird thing about this particular track is it was open to public during the day, and there were no support classes.
Sure.
So it would dirty itself up during the day, and then they would go out with no rubber laid down for them. And it was never really taking any rubber. And I don't, there's no reason for that to change.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that was the big question mark coming into it, is what that, you know, was that going to be difficult for them? Were they going to be sliding all over the place? And actually, as is often the case, a lot of the worst fears about the circuit didn't come to pass. I mean, these are the best drivers in the world. The guys making the cars are some of the best guys doing it in the world. So, but I think what we've seen with this circuit generally is it's got a lot of the Baku qualities that make Baku really great. That long, long straight basically creates one of the best overtaking spots that I can remember recently. So as a first year, I know we had all the nonsense on Thursday, but that's going to be a bit of a footnote, I think, because the track stuff, the surface itself wasn't as big an issue as people thought, and the circuit itself was great. So hard to find things to poke holes in at this point, I think.
Were we surprised with the driver today, Charles Leclerc, getting pole position, his 24th career pole? Didn't get the win. He's only gotten 4 wins out of a pole position in his career. The win percentage, not great, Bob. But he's driver of the day, and we mentioned guys like Stroll going from 19, finishing 5. We talk about a guy like Oscar Piastri starting 16th, and he registers McLaren's only point because Lando Norris wasn't able to finish. Was it a bit peculiar that Charles got the driver of the day in this particular race?
Was it Charles that got it? Was it Perez?
Yeah,
it was
Perez. I thought it should have been Perez when they popped it up there. I was like, McLaren, he had a great race.
He was pushed off the track early on by Verstappen, and he stayed there and fought his way back. And then he made the mistake after... I forget how many laps we were in. It was near the end, but he made the mistake and overshot the corner, and that's how Perez got around him. He stayed with it. He was several seconds behind, and he still came back on the last lap to pass Perez to finish second. Like, I think he did have a great drive. I think it was better than Perez.
I agree with Nicole. Look, I would have given it to Charlotte.
No one is going to vote for Verstappen at this point.
Yeah.
So
I'm not arguing that Leclerc didn't deserve it. I guess I was just surprised by it. And I think that's partially
like,
because of where the starting
Verstappen's not
going
to get the vote. So then I guess it goes to
P2, essentially.
He got
the best storyline because we got to see him struggle, got to see him get past, and then got to see him pass Perez in turn. By the way, that's the moment of the race for me, by the way, is both of those passes, particularly when Perez passes him the first time. The TV broadcast caught it coming right at them out of that curve, sparks flying everywhere. Like, that visual alone for me is worth the entire race.
Yeah.
Can we talk about the visuals here?
Oh, visuals.
It was awesome. It was eye candy.
There's really nothing else like this, period.
It was awesome.
100%.
I mean, this whole race was sold on the spectacle, what it was going to look like.
Yeah.
And we all kind of assumed, it's going to be great. Like, there's going to be all the lights or the casinos. You add in the sphere, which was what they did with the sphere all weekend, even during the national anthem, when it had the U.S. flag. Yes. I'm not American. You guys must
I love
have been
the ranking
loving
changes.
I was crying. Just tears.
The yellow flag.
I was crying into my food.
My hand almost went on my heart. I was like, wait a minute. I'm not
The Charmin Bear may be emotional.
But I think what they've done, I think the only thing that they need to do, and this is really, I think we were talking about this earlier, weren't we, Nicole, is change the angle slightly, because there's some points where I think you lose some of off the back track.
Yeah, but that's on the TV people. That's not on the race people.
And that, exactly. That's not. That's
we take the world feed, guys.
Right.
Yeah, ESPN.
And that's not. And that's not a knock on the. You know, that's not a knock on the race. You're right. So yeah, I thought it was fantastic, and it, like, all the aerial shots, just unbelievable. So I think we're just going to see that on a loop on highlight reels for the rest
and
of the season.
The beautiful thing, and the thing to be optimistic about, this is the first of hopefully many to come. They'll be back next year, and there's going to be so many things that they can start taking a look at tomorrow and say, okay, yeah, well, let's just fix this, this, this. Start time to be determined, of course. I mean, listen, it's a 10 o'clock local start, 1 o'clock East Coast start.
I would
people
like
waking
to be home before 5 a.m.
That would be awesome.
That would be amazing.
I'm pretty happy with how that worked out. 5 a.m. sounds great.
This is, they're going to kick us off the track soon, so we're certainly going to wrap this up in just a bit. But just after Max takes the checkered flag, you actually got to talk to Red Bull team principal Christian Horner. What did he have to say after another Red Bull win?
I think what he expects of Max is what we all expect of Max. But there's been some questions about Sergio Perez this year, and he sort of talked about that. And he talked about the fact that it does put him second in the championship and how important that was. He reiterated that, the importance of it. And you can read into it, what does that actually mean? What was on the line for Sergio if had he not finished second in the championship? And that was the big thing. He also talked about the fact that it was his birthday weekend.
Yes, and what a place to spend it. And amazingly, with the 1-2, that's the first time Red Bull have ever done that, had a driver finish first and second. Which, if you think about how much success they've had in the last 15 years, that is actually really extraordinary.
But I think it's difficult in this sport to have two drivers who have been able to be as consistent as what they have had. For all the issues that Perez has had this year, it's really difficult to have that sort of consistency from two drivers to finish 1-2 in the championship. Because if you have one driver who's doing great, you, not to have the Vegas thing, but you throw all your chips in on that.
Someone had
driver,
to in the
right?
pot.
Sorry.
Yeah,
yeah. Unintentional.
From starting 11 and the crowd and the pack that he had to get through to finish third.
He had a shot at second. He had a new wing on. He was in last in the second lap. Like, to keep the confidence and like come back, like I think he's not broken. That's important. Like, he struggled in times, and he still has it.
It's like we make the same conversations in like the NBA. Just because somebody has a bad game, that person didn't forget how to shoot.
Well, James Harden, Checo, I think, is the exception, but keep going. Yeah,
but Checo hasn't forgotten how to drive. Right. There's nothing wrong with Checo, but it might be maybe that track doesn't suit him. Maybe the setup doesn't suit him. Maybe the tires that weekend. Like, Checo is still there. It just hasn't gone his way a number of times.
And he's got the hardest job in Formula One, being Max Verstappen's teammate.
No one wants to be that
person. I don't think many drivers would do. I think drivers probably would have done a better job this year. Perez has not been in the best place, but I think Red Bull are aware of that as well. I think they know it's not like we just drop someone else in there and they're just suddenly going to do good. Every teammate Max has had has struggled in some way.
Not just in Formula One, at Red Bull. This is the most difficult job at a team where you are getting a very specific kind of pressure, a team that has gone through drivers, a team that is at times ruthless with them.
Yeah. This is 100%. A sport that's built on, you have two drivers that work together, but your toughest competitor is the guy who's essentially in the same equipment as you. That is what this sport is built on, that level of competition.
The one thing I'd say about Checo, and this is why I thought Charles's drive was better, is that Checo still has the quickest car in the field. What he did today is something he hasn't done a lot this season, which is convert that pace into a strong result. And I think really what he's got to do early next year is make sure he's at the very least is doing that. He doesn't have to be winning races, but if he starts the year next year as he was in the middle of this year, I think that's when he's really in trouble. If Max is going to be winning a lot of races for for the foreseeable future, if Perez is finishing second and third a lot next year, I think you can tick boxes, because that's really all he needs. He's the number two driver. That's all they need.
Go back to Miami, though. There was a chance, had that race gone differently, because it was Verstappen who had the bad qualifying effort in Miami.
That's right.
And Checo was out front. Had that race gone differently, had Checo won the race, he would have been leading the championship when they left there. And I think we all sort of looked at that and said, at the end of the year, Checo's going to go looking back at Miami and say, that is the weekend it all fell apart. Because if he won the race and he had left that weekend, there would have been all the reason in the world for suddenly Red Bull to say, okay, we need to support him a little bit more. And it all unraveled after that in a variety of ways.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and The Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We talked about that in the pregame show. The pre-race show was about that, being like, you rewinded before that race. It was a conversation of, not like, is it 1A, 1B, but there was something compelling about the competition between those two, and then that dissipated through the course of the summer.
Ah, Miami, when we didn't need gloves, jackets,
stop sniffling
I'm wearing
into the mic.
And hoodies.
Three coats right now.
And also four layers if you want Nicole
Briscoe. What is wrong with you?
You got a sweater on underneath that shirt, though.
How are you not cold?
It does feel kind of I don't mind this weather. I sweat so much at those races.
I was going to say,
this is much better for me and Spencer. This is much more, much friendlier to the two of us.
This is a touch refreshing. So
ready,
Max Verstappen, he already locked up the Drivers' Championship weeks ago. But with Checo getting on podium, he locks up number two in the driver's standings, which means Lewis Hamilton, he doesn't want it, doesn't care to talk about it. He's going to finish three in the driver's standings, Constructors' Cup or Constructors' Standings, still TBD with one race to go. No sense in getting into predictions, but I think everybody is sort of ready to get this race done next week in Abu Dhabi and look forward to next year when specifically at Mercedes can make a whole bunch of changes. A whole bunch of changes, Nate.
Yeah, a few weeks, I forget exactly which race it was, Lewis Hamilton said, Mercedes need to have the best 6 months they've ever had in Formula One. And I think that that really is the difference between finishing this season in this way and something different next year. I think the Abu Dhabi, I've been there before, it's weird when the championship's not on the line because it's just, it's like being last day of school but you don't have any classes. There's no, you're like, why are we here? You know, we don't need to be here. But yeah, hopefully we see some signs that maybe things are changing next year, because as good as today's race was, it would have been even better if there'd four or five drivers in the fight, and imagine if the championship was still going on to Abu Dhabi next year. That's awesome. What we've got to hope for. In
I'll take another repeat of what 2021.
Oh, amazing. imagine
that
leaving here.
Would be amazing. Awesome. We actually do have to leave here, though, because we are working into the wee hours of the morning, and we're being told we don't have to leave, but we have to get the hell up out of here. So for Nate Saunders, Dallin Cuff, Spencer Hall, Nicole Briscoe, I'm Gary Streisky. We appreciate everything that you all do for the industry. We appreciate everything.
His whole answer is all
for the industry. Tremendous asset to the industry.
We got Zach House right here running the mixer on the audio. We got Dave Presley holding the light, holding the camera
for all of our
Katie George, who couldn't make it this weekend because she's got 27,000 other responsibilities. We appreciate you listening and watching all season long. And we won't see you from Abu Dhabi, but maybe you'll hear from us.
We'll talk about it.
See ya.